please and thank you. I was raised, I would say instilled, to say those words. How many of you had that same kind of childhood where my parents, my grandparents, if I didn't say please, pass me the potatoes, and thank you, it was brought up and drilled into us. And I thought of that, and I'm sure parents today do the same thing, and this story of Jesus healing these group of 10 lepers. And thank you for our confirmation class for adding that dramatic flair to this story this morning, where Jesus is traveling, and it says he's on the way to Jerusalem, which is a distinct feature of the Gospel of Luke. The second half of the story of Jesus in the Gospel, he's always going toward Jerusalem, whether he's going north or south or east or west. His journey leads him to the cross, and that's really what is meant by that phrase, on the way to Jerusalem. So as he's heading toward the story of Jesus going to the cross, he comes across this village. And there are 10 people suffering from leprosy. And he has mercy on them. They beg him, "Have mercy on us, Master." And he heals them. And he gives them the instruction. I want to be very clear. He says to the lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And 9 of them go. One, after realizing he had been healed, comes back and gives thanks to Jesus. Actually, praises God first and then thanks Jesus. And we can commend this one, as Jesus does, for being thankful. Thankful to Jesus, but thankful to God for the miracle of being healed. And I think saying please, saying thank you, is a basic but important lesson for us all. To actually, in the moment that we're in, realize the blessing that we have. And to rightly give credit to God. And perhaps the person whom God is using to be a blessing to us. Now, we could stop there and say, just be more mindful of the blessings that you have and give God thanks to the people that God sends into your life to give you those moments of blessings and be thankful. Next month, of course, we have our big Thanksgiving celebration. It's always a day for us to give thanks to God. But of course, there's more to this story, and we'll start first with this group of 10 lepers. Leprosy, of course, is a terrible skin disease. It's contagious and probably not terribly well understood in those days. But they were required to live apart. In fact, in the book of Numbers, it said those suffering from leprosy had to live outside the camp. In other words, they had to live outside of the community. They could live with one another, but they could not come into any kind of proximity to anyone else. Not only that, they were not allowed to worship. They were considered permanently unclean. So as a reminder, the Old Testament has all of these kind of commandments about clean and unclean, and there are things that you could do on an everyday basis, like touching blood or a dead body or any kind of thing that you could be temporarily unclean. And there were rituals, cleaning rituals and other things that you could go from being temporary unclean to clean. And you had to do that in order to come to the synagogue. In order to worship God, you had to be in the category of clean. Now that might seem quaint to us, but it was a big deal in Jesus' day. Lepers, among others, could never become clean again. They were permanently unclean. So when Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest, that's a big deal. Because the priests are the ones who determine whether you've gone from being unclean to clean. So for Jesus to heal the 9 Jews, the Samaritan is a Gentile, and to say to them, go show yourselves to the priest, it's liberation day. Not only are these 9 no longer afflicted with this terrible skin disease, they are restored to the community. They can worship God with other people, singing God's praises, praying together, forming connections and relationships, doing life together, as we say. And so when Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests, that in and of itself is a miracle. Now the one, it says, who is a Samaritan, which if, again, you're a close reader of the book of Luke, should catch your ear. He's a Samaritan. It is in the Gospel of Luke that we have the parable of the Good Samaritan, how the man who's beaten and left for dead and the Levite and the priest walk by, seemingly indifferent to his pain and suffering, and it's the Samaritan who helps this man dying in a ditch. The Samaritans and the Jewish people were constantly at strife, sometimes in full-bodied war, as we see in that region. Of course, hopefully we have a ceasefire. And other times, just enmity between language and race and ethnicity and all kinds of long-standing feuds. So that when Jesus singles out that it's a Samaritan who helps the dying man in the ditch, it's the Samaritan who comes back to Jesus and gives thanks and praise to God for healing him of his skin disease. That would have been a big deal for the original hearers of the story of Jesus, that Jesus singles out a Samaritan and then gives praise. But I also think it's significant for us to think about where this happens. It says Jesus was traveling on the way to Jerusalem, and although Luke's geography may be a little not great, it says he was in the region between Samaria and Galilee. He was in kind of a border area where it's not always clear, are we on the Samaritan side or are we on the Judean side? And in border areas, there's a lot of malleability. And it's a place that can be dangerous. Jesus goes to that place and he meets this group. And he singles out the Samaritan as being one worthy of praise, of distinction. Jesus' ministry, his ministry of healing, the miracles that he does, everything is done on purpose. That he would heal a group of lepers is amazing. He's including the excluded. But included within that group is the Samaritan. The Samaritan who gives God thanks and praise for what Jesus does. We ought to see one another like Jesus sees this group. That where there is division, where there is exclusion, we bring people together. Where others see enmity and strife, we see a neighbor. we see a beloved child of God, worthy of our time and our attention. In this particular text, it says Jesus sees this group. He has an eye to see the hurting, to see the suffering, and to see their humanity. Now, what Jesus says to the leper who comes back, I should say the man with leprosy, who comes back, he says to the nine, go and show yourselves to the priest. They would be restored into the Jewish worshiping community. But to the one who comes back, who praises God and gives Jesus thanks for healing him, he says, go. Your faith has made you well. In many of the healing stories that we see with Jesus, we hear this phrase or some derivative like this, that your faith has made you well. And I want you to think about, at which point for this one, or even the group, when did the faith in Jesus make them well? When did they exhibit faith? Because you could make an argument that there's three different times that they show faith, and I guess two times for the group and one more for the Samaritan. So number one, these are 10 lepers who are excluded from community and are suffering greatly in body and certainly mind and spirit. No doubt they've tried every cure, every potion, every doctor or healer who came through town. They've probably spent a fortune trying to get better. And yet, when they see Jesus, they believe he can heal them. Jesus does not come to them. They go to him. They beg. And it says they approached him, but they kept their distance. Did you notice that note? There is a standing practice that if you were a leper, you had to announce yourself. You had to say, unclean, unclean, because it would be unfair if you got too close to someone. So I like the touch with the bell. So they approached him, believing and trusting that maybe he could be the one. Now, maybe that's out of pure desperation. We get to that place in our life where we're really struggling and we're really hurting. We've tried everything, and we'll just, out of desperation, hope and pray that maybe this could be the one. But they believe it. The other thing to note, where their faith could come, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Jesus says to the group, go and show yourselves to the priests. They don't say, well, why don't you heal us first? Which I think seems logical. Why would I go show myself to the priest when I still have leprosy? They go. They trust in the word of Jesus. They trust that he could. And so as they went, they are healed. It is on the way, after they already began believing and trusting that they would be healed, that they are. Now, I don't blame the nine for keep going to show themselves to the priest. They must have been filled with such joy and relief and excitement. I am sure they were thankful to Jesus. The one who comes back, where is his faith? It could have been that he believed Jesus could do it, or that he believed Jesus would do it and on the way he gets healed. But another point of faith, which I really want to share with you today, is that his first response to his changed condition is to give thanks to God, to give praise to God. in our life, when we are blessed, is our first response to give praise to God? Because if it is, that is a point of faith. When we believe deeply in our spirit that every good thing that we have comes from God, that is faith. Our culture tells us something different. Our culture says every good thing you have, you did. Every good thing you have was somehow the work of your education, your intelligence, your hard work, your effort, your wisdom. That's faith in yourself. Faith in God believes and begins with whatever good thing happens to me, God has blessed me. That's what this leper does. He doesn't even thank Jesus first. If you read it closely, it says he praises God. Then he comes before Jesus and he bows before him and then gives him thanks. Jesus is the instrument of God's blessing to this man. But the first response, the faith response, is something good happens in my life. God has blessed me. Imagine your day if every good thing, and once you start looking for good things, you see them all around you. If every moment of your day, you give God thanks. In a world that is so filled with negativity and pain and suffering, which we don't look past those, but in the midst of that, if we can find God's blessing for us at every turn, our spirit will be lifted. And we need good news. We need to look for it. We need to find it. And it's all around us because every moment you have is a blessing from God. Every moment that you're alive is a gift. What will you do with it? This man who is suffering so greatly used his moment to give praise to God. And no doubt the rest of his life, he talked about Jesus, what Jesus had done and how God had blessed him. And doubtless, many Samaritans came to believe in Jesus because of his witness, because he rightly pointed to the blessing from God. Let us look for God's blessings each day. Let us look for them and give God thanks for them. Amen.